This old world can never hold me anymore. I'll be gone. Oh, I have made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment. Yes, oh, world, it's so world can never hold me anymore. Me,
all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's a great privilege to be here tonight. It's not just a culture, but we come to hear from the Word of God. Let's straight away open our Bible to the book of Genesis. Genesis 49. If you have your Bible ready here. Genesis 49. Then we'll go to Genesis 50. We start with 49. Genesis 49 from 29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my father in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they bury Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they bury Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I bury Leah. The patches of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his son, he gathered up his feet unto the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Let's go to Genesis 50. Genesis 50 from 24 to 26. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he saw to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let the bow head and offer a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again we come tonight to thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy to us. Gathering like this is not just a culture, Father, but we know your word says, where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be in their midst. And we believe that you are in our midst tonight, not because the way we feel, because the way you said. Father, we commit with all our prayer request, everything that is inside of our heart, unspoken, Father, that you shall grant to us according to thy will. Because when you were here on earth, you says, when you pray, seek that the will of God shall be done inside of your life. Father, that's why we ask you tonight that you shall come down in the form of the spirits and anoint this place, Father. Anoint my lips, anoint the ears of my brethren and sister present in this place, Father, because they have burned their fuel, Father. They have lived long distance to come here. Surely it's not to see a man, but it's to hear from thee. That's why I ask you that you shall put me aside, Father, that no human element shall be seen, but you alone shall be seen in the midst of thy people, Father, and the glory, honor will be given unto you. Father, if there's anything that could hinder your presence among us, our shortcoming, our failing, our sin, we put all them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you shall take control of this meeting, Father, from the beginning until the end of it, and at the end of it, we shall say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We know that each time when you are in thy presence, Father, there's always a solution, Father. There's peace, there's joy, Father. There's all manner of good things, Father. And we expect it tonight that you shall vindicate thy word, Father. Father, your prophet says, where this message is preached, the angel of the Lord shall be there, Father. And we believe that the angel of the covenant, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, is present among us tonight. Bless us, Father. Bless this congregation. Bless the soul of each body, everybody that is present in this place, Father, that they should not depart from this place without receiving something from thee. Bless, O Father, our pastor. Bless his family. Bless all the saints that are not able to make it tonight. You know the reason. We ask you that the portion of the blessing shall be upon them, Father, that they shall be in the same spirit with us, Father. And we ask you, Father, that your will shall be done once again inside of our life. We commit all at thy hand in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. You maybe have your seat. Just tonight we want to look at something a bit different. But it's to do with the scripture that we read tonight. Now we want to look at, if we could give it a title, we could call it Machpelah, my burying place. Now before we get there, it's something very good. I have a few points here before we could get to where we're supposed to get. Now, it was the word of Joseph to his brethren. I like that. Now in Genesis chapter 50 from verse 24, Joseph said, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Joseph giving them a word that despite the fact that I'm dying, but I'm not God, there is a God, and that God will visit you, and will bring you out of this land, out of the land which he saw to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he will restore them, in another word, Joseph speaking to them about the restoration. Because we know that Egypt never given to Abraham and to his seed. What was given to Abraham and his seed? It was Canaan. But they found themselves in Egypt. And God already prophesied. God has spoken to Abraham. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. We want to lay a background from there and to see that God, when he speaks something, it must be fulfilled. No matter what, the word of God always must be fulfilled. Now, here in Genesis 15 and in verse 13, and he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not there. And I shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. Now that was the word of the Lord. Now, and this was spoken unto Abraham, and the Lord made sure that his word was fulfilled. But now we find something. The Lord, he in Genesis, he never explained to Abraham why his seed has to go there for 400 years. He just told him that thy seed shall go to a strange land for 400 years. And we found that they went because the Lord has spoken, and the word of the Lord can't return void. It must be fulfilled, the purpose by which God sent it. But before Joseph could die, and he told them, somehow he knew. I don't know the way he knew it, but he being a prophet, he was able to see things that his brethren could not see. And he told them that the Lord will surely visit you. There will be a time that the Lord will come unto you. And that time will be a time of jubilee unto you. It will be a time of restoration. The Lord will bring you back to the land that he has given unto his father, unto you, Father. The Lord has somewhere a place that he already prepared for you. If you are here, it's not your place. And that is a restoration. It's to bring them back to a place of origin. Because Egypt were never given unto them. It was Cana, and Joseph telling them that God will bring you back once again to Cana. Now we find that was a good thing. There's nothing more greater to a slave than his liberty. You could not do anything to a slave. You could give money, but the liberty is something more precious to yourself than anything else. Because they was under oppression of the enemy in Egypt. They was in slavery. But when Joseph spoke to them this word, it was something that risen up inside of their heart. They were looking at this day. They were looking at the day that they'll be made free. Because the things has changed. It says Joseph died. Things never been the same anymore. They've been there under slavery. They were there under hard tax mask, doing things that didn't have a choice because of the condition, of the location they were in. For them to survive, they have to do these things. And why they went there, the prophet told us, the reason they went there, maybe Abraham didn't know it, but the prophet explained it to us. He said the reason they went there, it was because of jealousy. Because of rejecting Joseph, they could not accept what God has put inside of their brethren. The prophet said, because of jealousy, that brought them in Egypt. It's something very serious. Because they were doing that, thinking that they will get rid with Joseph. They finish with him. They say, we're going to sell him. Let's see what will come, his dream. His dream will never be fulfilled again. We're going to sell him and finish with him. But by selling him, they just push him to the fulfillment of his dream. Because Joseph wasn't there. He didn't dream of himself. Those dreams come from God. But if they could find a better way to accept Joseph, maybe they could not find themselves in Egypt in that condition. But because of that jealousy inside of accepting the gift that was inside of the life of their brethren, they feel jealous. They could not accept it. And they find themselves in Egypt. And the prophet tells us that God is perfect in three. That the same way that happened. Now that's God perfect in three. That the first time, and Joseph has to go in Egypt, it's because he was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be rejected by his own brother. He must be sold by his own brother to go to Egypt. And later on, he will reveal himself out to them because he was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture must run perfect. Now we see that the same thing happened also to the one that is greater than Joseph, to the Lord Jesus Christ. His own brother rejected him also. Because Matthew 27, verse 18, tell us that they accused him because of envy. It was because of jealousy that they did sold the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went under slavery, under the Roman Empire, because of the jealousy that they have against their brethren. It's something very serious inside of loving the gift that God sent them to save them. Now they come with another attitude that was different inside of receiving the grace that God ministered unto them that will provide the way of Jehovah. They rejected him and they went under slavery of Rome and they were destroyed by the general Titus, the Roman general. It's because of they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third time, the prophet tells us, they did the same thing. Now, when the word of God was revealed in our time, when God manifested himself in the form of the word, they did the same thing. The prophet says they are crucifying Jesus for the second time. And the first time it was in the type of Joseph. And the second time was when God was made flesh. And the third time is in our time when they rejected the word. And what happened when they rejected the word? They went back again to Egypt. They went back again to the denomination system. The system that is made by man, not made by God. Now this time for them, it was a great time surely. They was waiting for this time to be fulfilled. Because any time where there's a jubilee, there must be the sound of the trumpet. They can't just have a jubilee without the sounding of the trumpet. The trumpet must sound first to proclaim that there's a jubilee. And the trumpet was sound there in Egypt. When they were there in the first Exodus, the trumpet sounded there. What was it? And Moses came with a message that you must apply the token because we are living in Egypt. And the prophet said it was a message of grace. God didn't want his people to die in Egypt. He wanted to take them out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land, the place where they gonna be a resurrection there, the place where God has ordained unto them. And at the sounding of the trumpet, they were made free. And they were able to sing the song of liberty, that they are free from the taskmaster of Pharaoh. And they are free from that system. And when we come to our time now, bring back to the first, to the second Exodus, because we know that there's three Exodus. The first one, it was with Moses. It was a natural land to a natural land. God taking out Israel from a natural land to another natural land, to Cana. That was the first Exodus. And remember, the prophet said that God is perfect in three. And the second one, the prophet says, God is taking a church from out of Judaism to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was now with God made flesh, with God prophet. It was with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet said, look at the way the things happen when he did the first Exodus now. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And we see the way the scripture says, how does it happen there? God always will do the same thing. He never changes his way of doing things. He does his things the same way. Now, God, it's become a time now that the promise that Joseph told them, that surely God will visit you. And they were looking at Joseph's coffin. The prophet said that we could pass by and says, this bone one day, we will take them out of this place and bring them to the promised land. Because Joseph tell us, never bury me here. Bring me to the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham bought that possession for a burying place. This is the place where I need to be buried. And you will see that it was with a purpose that Joseph would tell them. And in another way, Joseph was telling them, despite the fact that I'm a minister here, I'm a prime minister here, nothing will stand here in Egypt. Egypt is under condemnation. No matter what you will try to build here in Egypt, There's nothing that will stand here. God is going to destroy this land. Because God has made a promise to Abraham that he will destroy the land of Egypt. And he will make them out of that place. And these people, inside of their hearts, something was burning. They say, when they see certain event taking place, they say, it could be this time. Because Joseph promises. Joseph, being a prophet, his word must be fulfilled. And he says that God will take us from this place. Now, one day now, Moses went, and the Lord was speaking at Moses, Exodus chapter 3. Now, the scripture must be fulfilled. No matter how long it's going to take, God will fulfill his scripture. Now, Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. And for I know their sorrow. Now it became to a time that when they were praying now, it looked like they were not doing nothing. But God was hearing all their prayers. They were praying. They say, we are tired of this condition now. That was the time that God could do something unto them. Because God will not do anything if they were happy in Egypt. But by the time they become now tired, they start crying. They want to get out of Egypt. That's the time where God stands in the scene now. That's why God stepped in to take them out of Egypt. And the prophet said, the same thing happened. When we cry, the condition that we are in, if you are in a condition of sin, and we cry out, that I'm not happy of this condition. I don't like this life of mine. If you hate your life, God will make it a change. But they have to do the first step first. They have to be tired of that condition. If they were happy there, nothing will happen. God will not do anything. But they must create it also condition that God can bring redemption unto them. Despite that God has promised it, but there's a deep calling to the deeps. Something also must be done in their sight. When you are happy in Egypt, when you are happy in the world, happy doing things with like the people of the world, God can't take you out of that condition. You must have a desire first inside of you, willing that God should take you out of that condition. Then God can take you out of that condition. God will not take you out of that condition if you are happy there. If you are happy with your life, like the people of the world, God will not make any change. But by the moment you hate the very life that you are living, and you want a change, God surely will make a change. Now God says, I have heard their crying. Now in verse now 8, and he says, I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God says now, I'm coming down to deliver my people. God is coming down to deliver his people. Now you must remember that no man can do the work of redemption. It has to be God to do the work of redemption. To change the condition of the life of the people, man can't do anything. I can preach in the best of my knowledge. I will not change your life. The only one who can change your life, it's God alone that can change. And God has to be on the scene for him to change the condition of these Hebrew children in bondage. God must come himself down and to bring them out of the land of Egypt and bring them and to take them up out of and a good land and a large at the land flowing with milk and honey. And at the place of Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now God now coming to fulfill his promise that he has spoken unto Abraham, that he has to take them out of Egypt. Now, when he's taking them out of Egypt, it's completely a change of a system. It's a change of political regime. It's something else now. And God coming to take them from there. They are not under Pharaoh anymore. They have another constitution, which is not the constitution of Egypt. They have a divine constitution now. They must accept now to walk according to that constitution. Once they accept to come out of Egypt, they must know now that they must bind to the law of God. They can't walk anymore under the constitution of Egypt, because that is another kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. The system is different now. And they must also to change their gastronomy. It's something that is different now. Now, something that is not the way of Egypt. The way of cooking their food and the way of eating their food, it has to change now, because they are not anymore in Egypt. They are going to the promised land with the leadership of Moses, an anointed man by God. And not only that, but God himself, in the form of the pillar of fire, he was on the earth to make sure that they get safe to the promised land. Now, because that is a great work. It's a work of restoration. If Moses can't do the work of restoration, because himself, he needs to be restored. It has to be God. But the only way we can see God on the scene, it was in the form of the pillar of fire. And the prophet said that the same thing in the second Exodus, what happened? God come down himself from heaven. God become human to do the work of redemption, to take them out of that condition to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And bring down now to the third Exodus, that what is much to do with us now. Now, God has to do the same thing. God has to come down in the form of the pillar of fire and take us from the spiritual Egypt and to bring us to a land which is the millennium, 1,000 years. Now, God has to come down. There's no way where the job will be done without God down. And the prophet says, when Paul met him in the second Exodus, Paul didn't meet him in the physical form. Paul knew the scripture very well, that this pillar of fire is nothing but the Lord himself. That's why when Paul met with the pillar of fire, he says, Lord. He knew that this was God. It wasn't something else. That he came down now. That he has to do the work of the redemption the same way he did there in Egypt. He has to bring them back from out of the hand of Pharaoh to the promised land, to the place of origin, to the place where they can worship God. Because in Egypt, among the heathen God, they were not able to worship God. Now, in the third Exodus now, according to the prophecy of Revelation chapter 18, the same sin must happen again. He said, come out among them, my people, that you should not take part of their plague, because there is a plague that is coming to Egypt. And the prophet said the last plague that came to Egypt, it was the death of the firstborn. Now, the last plague now that come out in the third Exodus, in this spiritual Egypt, it's a spiritual death. The people are dying spiritually. The people are dying. They can't recognize who they are, who they are Christian or not. And the story has to repeat the same, because God is perfect in tree. Now, that was a wonderful time for them, that Joseph told them, surely the God of thy father will visit you, and we will take you out of this place, but never leave my bones here. Bring my bones to Cana. Bring my bones where they have buried Leah, Rebecca, and Jacob, and all these people. I want you to be buried there, because something going to happen there. And Joseph knew, and he could see things from far. He said, nothing that will stand here. God will execute his judgment in this land of Egypt. Now, coming off out of Egypt, you remember he says that they have to change their gastronomy. They have to change their art of eating good or preparing food. It must be changed now. They will not eat anymore those garlic of Egypt, the cucumber. They will not eat them anymore. God now has to send them a heavenly dish, a kitchen from heaven.
and the manna from heaven has to become now their food. They must get used to it now. Now we find that the prophet tells us that the redemption has two parts. It's coming out of something and the getting into something. Now they come out of Egypt. That was good enough. But they must get to the promised land. Because it's not enough just to get out of Egypt without getting to the promised land. Now we see that when they was in that journey, many people died. They never get to the promised land. They get out of Egypt, but a lot of them, they perish at Kadesh Barnea, at the judgment seat of God. They could not move forward because they came out of Egypt, but Egypt was inside of them. That's why we say that it has to be a change of gastronomy. Something has to change inside. God has to do something that they have to now get used with angel food. They must get used now to the heavenly food now. It was so hard to them because all the year of their life, they get used with those cucumber. They get used with garlic and all these things. And it was good for them when they were in Egypt. But once they come out of Egypt, they have to know that things has changed now. Now God is bringing us to another level now. We can't do things in the same way we used to do when we were in the world. Things has changed now. There's another anointing that comes from heaven. There's a message now that needs to be followed. There's a change that must happen inside of our life. And we know that the journey that they had, because God being imperfect in three, and the journey also was a three-stage journey. They have to go first. Now being accepting the message of Moses, and they have to go through the Red Sea. Now the baptism in the water now. And they have to progress now and go through the wilderness until when they cross Jordan, which it means that death to themselves. Death to ourselves. Jordan means death. That they must accept to cross Jordan. Now everybody that didn't want to cross Jordan could not enter into the promised land. Because they must accept to die completely from the knowledge of Egypt they received. From everything of Egypt, the way of doing things in Egypt has to die completely. The way of conducting themselves has to die completely. Because this is a new system. It's not Egypt. In Egypt, they were able now. The law could allow them. Man could marry between man. But when they come now under the anointing of an eagle now, they could not allow a such a thing. That in Egypt you will see all manner of sin. Women can marry themselves. Man can divorce today and remarry again. All these horrible things. You can see them in Egypt. But once they come out of Egypt, they must forget that system. And they must know that everything is finished now. Now in Egypt, Dathan was able to bestow his brethren. And because he wanted to get food or something. But once they come out of Egypt now, there's no betraying your brother anymore. You have to be friend with your brother because you're going to spend the land together. And the friendship has to start from once they left Egypt. Once they were in Goshen now, they were in preparation to leave there. They must make sure that all the different was passed away. Everything was passed away. And Joshua, being the type of the Holy Spirit, a genuine believer. If you look at the film, that thing strikes me a lot. That look at Joshua, he didn't look at his brother, Dathan, who was betraying his friend. That before they could believe, Dathan didn't want to apply the token. But in the film, you will see Joshua having his hyssop and taking the blood and applying on the lentil. And he see that the condition of the land now is very bad. God gonna strike this land. God gonna judge Egypt now. It's no playing anymore. No matter what my brother, no matter what my sister did for me, let me make sure that my brother or my sister has the blood applied in his life. That was a great love that Joshua could demonstrate to his brother. He didn't look at all the wrong of death and everything. He said, now this is the time because the message come. the requirement from heaven that the token must be on display. That all the houses that are under the token will be saved. But it looked like at the door of Dutton, there's no blood there. Let me go and apply the blood there. And he went and he did it there. And that time when the angel of death came to visit Egypt, he didn't die there. And he died somewhere later in the desert because he's unwilling. Because God did his best to bring them to the promised land. And God do his best to give us the Holy Spirit. But we fell short of it because of the condition of our heart. We don't want to die. We don't want to change the way we used to behave in the world before. We want to still behave the same way. The nature that we are born with it. The Adamic nature. We love it too much that we don't want to divorce with it. And God will not do anything until you are willing to give up what is dear unto you. That nature that is new. God can't change it without you willing to change. God will not do anything. God is powerless without your free will. You must show that you are willing. Because God has put you under the free will, free moral agency. You must decide. If you look for change, God is able to change you. When they cry, God was able to take them out of Egypt and to bring them to the promised land. Now, Joseph, he says, surely the God of thy father will visit you. God of thy father will come and take you out of that condition. And they were looking at it all the time. They say, we want to go out of this place. We want to get to the promised land. We were here in this condition. It's because of the very man that's giving us the promise. We sold him. We did a wrong thing. We're supposed not to hate our brother. We're supposed not to manifest that behavior to our brother. But to Joseph, he didn't reward evil to evil. He said, forget about the issue. That is finished. That was the devil anointing you. That's nothing to do with it. But God will visit you. But make sure when you go out of this place, take my bones from here. And he made the same thing. Joseph, he saw to Jacob, his father. And Jacob tell him, when I die, no matter what, I know you have money. You can make a good tomb for me. But never bury me here. Take me out of this place. And bring me, bury me the same place where they bury Sarah. Where they bury Leah, Abraham, and all the saints. I want to be buried there. Now there was something to do with it. They could not, why someone should worry about his bone? When someone die, he should not worry about his bone or about his body. But these guys, they have a revelation. They have a view, a range, long view. They knew that something going to happen one day. In Canada, there going to be a resurrection. Something special will take place there. In Egypt, if we die here, there's no resurrection in Egypt. If you die in Egypt, you die in the condition of your soul that is not given unto God. There will be no resurrection. And they know that we must be buried there in Canada because something is there. Why Abraham did purchase this specific part of the land? There was something. He could purchase it somewhere else. But Abraham did purchase that specific part of the land. It was with a purpose. The prophet said, you must read between the lines. He didn't just do it that way. And they know there was no point that Jacob could just ask his son if it was something light to do with his bone. If he knew that I'm dying, that finish, it's okay. No matter where I die, I die. But they knew that there's something that's going to happen somewhere. But in Egypt, there's no resurrection. If you die in the world, there's no resurrection in the world. That's why it's so important that you must make sure that you die, you are buried there in Christ. Because with Christ, there is a resurrection there. There's something special that's going to happen. And you must be willing to come out of Egypt. And not only just to come out of Egypt, but to enter into the promised land. But they did come out of Egypt. That was a good start. They did. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the scripture tells us, they were baptized under the baptism of Moses, under the Red Sea. But later what happened? God destroyed them all. Why God did destroy them? because they didn't walk anymore with the message of Moses. They're supposed to walk with that message until the promised land. Because somewhere along the journey, when Moses went to the mountain to take the commandment, you find those God, those people that saw the manifestation of God, that saw God taking them out of the Red Sea with the dry land. They went back now to the idol worship. They want to make a golden calf. You see how the children of God can go far sometimes. Because those were the children of God. And we left the God of our ancestors, the God of our parents. But how can you go back there? The prophet says it's like a dog that goes back to his vomit. You should not desire Egypt anymore. Once we come out of Egypt, we should not think at all going back to Egypt. No matter how tough the things are. But we should be willing always to stay on the message of Moses. And to continually go with that message. Like Joshua and Caleb. They continually went with that message. They didn't want to compromise with anything. When the rest of the people start worshiping idol. But they said, this message is dear unto us. We will never depart from this message. This message is from God. And God has vindicated it. And we know that this message has power in us to bring us to the promised land. We can't depart from that. While the rest of the people were doing this kind of the things, they never bore about it themselves. And you find that, no, this is a move of the people. But let's look at ourselves. Now, let's not take at the move of the people. Because my soul is more important than anything else of other people. When they backslidden there in desert, Joshua, he never backslidden. Because he didn't look at the majority of the people. He looked at his relationship between him and God and the message of Moses. That's what we're supposed to look at. We're supposed not to look at one another. We're supposed to look at our relationship with God. My brother may be failing. That is his problem. But me is what matter is my walk with the message of Moses. It's my walk with the message of the hour. Am I fulfilling what the message says that I'm supposed to fulfill? That's the question. I should not worry about someone else. If nobody's coming but me, because of the love that I have toward the message, that I must fulfill my part. If someone is letting the bar down, that's the person. But me, I will never let the bar down. Because that is me, between me and my God. I must make sure that I every day run my family and walk myself according to the message of the hour. If no matter what the name the people will give to you. But you know that these things worth a lot. There's nothing that is important today in Egypt. And the prophet says now we are in spiritual Egypt. And those spiritual Egypt, there's a lot of forces now. It's all this Methodist, all this kind of the church, Presbyterian church, all these things. They are Egypt spiritually speaking. There's nothing that can give life there. And you have to come out of the system. That's why the message come to call a bride out of those system. They must get to the promised land. Because they are letting down the bar. They are going back to Rome again. They are starting worshiping the same. They are dividing God in three parts. They are doing all these things, allowing, like Anglican church, allowing homosexual, the homosexual to be a priest, all those kind of things. But it can't be happening now. When they come out of the Egypt, these kind of things die, no matter what oppression that was there. But under the divine constitution, there's a principle that you must walk in. Once you accept God, you must follow the things that God has sent. You can't be 50-50, no. Things has to change. You must walk with God or walk with the world. You can't be in both sides at the same time, no. It's not possible. You could not eat from Egypt and eat the manna from heaven. That's why God changed completely. Now that you can't eat the manna that was for yesterday. And the manna always been fresh. There was manna that was full in time of Luther. But we can't use it now. Because things has changed now. This is the message of the hour. This is the anointing of the eagle. It's not anymore the manna that fall in the time of Wesley. You can't bring in that word in this time. It will not work anymore. That's why the Wesleyan fell, because they continue with the message that was good in that time. But in this time, you need to grow a bit spiritual. You need something more powerful. You need something that has the anointing of the eagle, and that will make you overcome this world and its condition. Why the people can't overcome this world and the condition? And it's two things, because they are not reading the right thing, or they are not willing for them to change. If you are eating the right food, the spiritual food in due season, you will overcome this world. And another thing also, you must be willing. That spiritual food in due season to change your life. Because no matter what will happen, no matter how we're going to preach, if you are not willing to let your life go, there's nothing that God can do in your life. You will remain the same. You can come to church years and years, and you will remain the same because you are not willing to give up. But if you are willing to give up, you want God to change your life, and something will happen. God will change it. But if you are not willing to change the life, God will not change you at all. It's not that the preacher not preaching a good message, but it's two things now. You must be willing, or you must eat the right food. But if you are willing and you are eating the right food, there's power more than enough for God to change, because there's a power of transformation in the word of God. It has changed the life of many. It has changed my life. It can change your life too. The same God that changed the life of the people can change your life tonight. Now remember that we see that our topic is Machpelah, my burying place. Now we're just laying a foundation there, and we want to get down there, and we see that Joseph, all them they desire. And the prophet tells us that Joseph, being a prophet, he could understand these things far away. He could see them, that this bone, there is something that is going to take place in this bone. This bone will not remain in this condition. Something will take place. There will be a new life that will be put in this bone. Something will happen. And when we get down there to the Bible, you find that Joseph's words were not just like that. Now, when the Hebrew children, we look at what Joseph tell them, and they look at the prophecy now of Ezekiel, they found that there's something matching away. And they could not understand at that time why Joseph tell us, why his father worry him, ask him to bring him out of this place and to bury him the place where they bury Sarah, at the cave of Machpelah. What to do with that place? And the prophet tell us that Machpelah, it's Palestine. It's representing the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection. You know, something now has come, has changed now. And we will see in our time now, do we need to go back there to be buried there in the Machpelah? No, the Machpelah has changed now. It's not anymore a location now. Machpelah become the word now, where you and I need to be buried there. Now Machpelah become the message of the hour, where you and I need to be buried there. Because all the people of old, Brother Neville, he went there, the same place. He died in the message of the hour. The prophet died in the message of the hour. And all the saints, they died there, because they know that there's going to be a resurrection there. And Joseph fully knew that something going to happen. Because by the way of his bread, his father telling him, and Joseph said, this revelation, if you trust it through, you will see that it was a family revelation. It can be transmitted, and from the Abraham to Jacob to Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob, and all them they desired to be buried in the same place. All them they have the same desire, and find that Joseph also, he has the same desire. The prophet said his brethren could not understand why Joseph has that desire, but being a prophet, he could see things afar. He could see first that Egypt was under judgment, and he could see a resurrection one day in Machpelah. And he could see that something will happen there. We will resurrect it. And why Abraham bought that place? The prophet says Abraham knew that this specific of a place where I'm buying, it was the place where they buried Job. Did you see that? He didn't just guess it. He buried because he know that the place where they buried Job. And Job was the first one that's speaking about the resurrection. He said in Job chapter 19 verse 25, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth and he will stand at the last day. Job was speaking about the resurrection. And Abraham caught the revelation. He said, this portion of the land, I'm going to buy it. I must be buried here. And the prophet said that it was exactly beside the place where they buried Job. Now, and Joseph prophesied that. The Hebrew children, they could not understand it. But when they get there, let's open Ezekiel chapter 37. And when they see now Ezekiel prophesying something to do with the bones, and they could not understand. They say, oh, now we can see. We didn't understood there why Joseph didn't to be buried there. Why did he want our bone to be carried out from Egypt far to the Canaan, to Machpelah, to the cave that Abraham bought it. And now in Ezekiel chapter 37, and again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. How these people could see that? Oh, but Joseph saw these things beyond that us. We could not see it. But Joseph didn't just limit his sight, physically speaking. He said, no, bones are gone, destroy them. And he knew that God has power to put a new life and to put a new flesh in the bone and bring a resurrection from there. And they caught that, he caught that revelation. But to his brethren, it was a mystery. And he says, verse 6, and I will lay sinless upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. How we can see that now this man is prophesying something similar to what Joseph would tell us about bringing his bone out of Egypt and bury them here in Cana, bury them here in Machpelah, in our possession place of burying. And he said, bury them there, because there, they're going to be something that is going to happen there. God will vindicate his word. And the prophet said now that the same thing with Jacob. All they follow and they saw that something going to happen one day in Machpelah. Something going to take place there. God is going to bring a resurrection there. Because Job already spoke about it. That at the last day, our God will stand. There will be a resurrection of the saints. The tomb will be open. But no tomb in Egypt that will be open. It's only in Machpelah. That's why they decide. That's why they emphasize that never leave my bones here. That's why Jacob could show. He said, don't leave them here. And we find that Machpelah now is not a physical place anymore. You don't need to get it to go out from this place. When you die in Dublin to go far in Israel to be buried there. No. Machpelah now become the spoken word. Machpelah become the message of the hour. That where you and I need to be buried there. Because there's going to be a resurrection there. But something amazing. If you like, you look at the account of the things. Let's go to Genesis chapter 20 and 23. And see something what happened there. With Joseph. Joseph, when he did the Genesis chapter 23. Let's go to Genesis chapter 23. We see something with Abraham. Abraham, they wanted to give him that place for free. But Abraham refused it. And why Abraham refused it for free? It must be something. Because he could not just refuse it like that. He was given it for free. But he says, no, I'm not taking it for free. I must buy it. And Abraham wanted to spend some money to get his burying place. That possession should belong unto him. And he could get it for free because they proposed him to get for free. But he refused to get for free. The prophet said, you must read between the lines. All these things, it has a meaning. It wasn't just for nothing that he refused it. Now, near my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give thee, in the praises of the son of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it off me, and I will bury my dead there. Abraham didn't want for free. They want to give him for free. Say, Abraham, keep your money. Take it for free. But Abraham said, no, I don't want it for free. Because it was a type of something. It was something to do with our time. It was something there that was scriptural. And he says, and Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, my Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham wedded to Ephron the silver which he has named in the audience of the son of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, and current money with the market. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the tree that were in the field, that were in all the border round about, were made sure. And unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Cana. And the field and the cave that is there were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the son of Heth. Abraham paid a complete price, and he made it public that to make sure that this possession is belong unto me. I don't want you to come later and claim it. Says, no, this possession is to us. But Abraham wants to do something, shekel, to give a token to it, to give money, that to make sure that a price is bought here. Because there's no free resurrection, friend. For you to get a resurrection, a price must be paid first. And the prophet tells us that Abraham was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, remember, with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, what happened when he came out of the mountain in the spoken word, the future home? The prophet says, what happened when he came from there? The devil wanted to give him this kingdom for free, but he refused it because he must fulfill the type. He must fulfill everything. And God didn't just buy your resurrection. He didn't just get your resurrection for free. No. God shed a great price that nobody could do it. The blood of God himself was shed for your resurrection and my resurrection. That's why Abraham was able to do these things, because they knew that something going to happen and the scripture must be fulfilled. Now, when this scripture was fulfilled, because it was a promise now, that this will encourage us and it will show us that the words of the prophecy, it will always be fulfilled. When God speaks something, that things must be fulfilled. We see the first thing when he promised them that he will take them out of Egypt, he surely take them out of Egypt. And they prophesize now. Job prophesies about the resurrection. But surely Job, they must see that resurrection. Something must be fulfilled. Because all them, the prophet said, Joseph, he was buried there. And Abraham bought that land just beside where they have buried, Job. Why? Because it was with a meaning. They know that If Job gonna resurrect it, he gonna come out of the tomb. There will be a vibration to our tomb. We will come out from that place. Because he prophesied and he spoke about the resurrection. And surely the resurrection must happen. And something must happen. Now when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and the scripture tells us, and things must be fulfilled. And that resurrection that they were waiting there, Job, Joseph, and all these guys, they were waiting for resurrection. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Leah, all the saints that was buried there. They were waiting for that day to be fulfilled. They were waiting that day of the resurrection. Because they see there, and those children of Israel, they want to see those things be manifest. He said, we want to see these things taking place. But the prophet said, the scripture now was fulfilled in Matthew 27. Let's go to Matthew 27. And the scripture was fulfilled there. And now, Matthew 27, verse 52. We start even from 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rock rent. And the grave were open, and the many bodies of the saints which slept arose. See, now that is fulfillment of the scripture now. Many body of the saints. The body of Abraham. The body of Joseph. The body of Jacob. The body of Leah. The body of Sarah. All the patriarch. Everybody that was buried there in Machpelah, in Cana. At that day, there was a resurrection. When something was shaken now, all the tombs was made empty. And they went to the paradise. You see, that's something that worth a lot. It was a lot for Joseph. He says, my bones shall not be buried here in Egypt. They shall be buried in Machpelah there. Because they are going to be a resurrection. It's something now, if a dead someone before he died, he could make such a decision that he could not die there. That they could not bury his bone there in Egypt. What happened to you and I that are alive? He should make a great decision that. Because him, he's dying. You know that my time is finished. But I should not, my bone should not be buried here. Bring them to Machpelah. Bring them to the promised land. I want you to bury me right there. That is the same thing that should be our desire. That we should never die in the world. No matter how attractive the world is to us. But we must make sure that when we die, it's a good thing to believe the message. But what's the point to go back to the world? And die in the world and you miss the rapture. There's no need. You did the great things. You start well. Believe the message of the hour. But why do you want to finish it in the wilderness? You don't want to finish in the wilderness. The things of the world, the last of the things of the world should not hold you for you to die in the message of the hour. You must make sure, the prophet said, there's even the law in the nature. And he gives the example of the fish called salmon. It is the salmon. That fish is not, it's a fish of fresh water. It's not of salt water. But sometime when time comes, those fish will go to the salt water. And they will go there. But before their time of dying happen, they will make sure that all them, they come out of from salt water. And they go back to the fresh water. And make sure that they die there. Because they never died in the place that it doesn't belong to them. Because I said there's nothing to them. He said the same thing as a Christian. That should be your aim and my aim. He said no matter what's happening, no matter how attractive the world is, this world is doomed. This Egypt is doomed. There's nothing good on it. We must aim and make sure that me and my family, we will die in the message of the hour. And make sure that the token is applied. That there's nobody should be left behind. Because it will be a disaster. That's sharing the same church with someone. And at the day of the resurrection. And the person is not there. Just because of the nature that is inside there. Doesn't want to give up. It will be a sad thing. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more precious than the kingdom of God. And there's nothing more precious to a believer than the rapture. You need the rapture. And the rapture is only in the message. Outside of the message, there's no rapture, friend. There's no rapture. And you must aim to die there. And you must accept to run those three-stage journey. Because they did it, the Hebrew children. When Joshua, they did it. They get into promised land. They get there because they run that journey. Not just only being justified, but you must also be sanctified and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you can rest. You say that all is well now. Even the death come now. I have the token on display. I don't fear what the death will do to other people, to my neighbor or someone else that I know. But to me, the death has no power anymore. Because I have the assurance of the resurrection. I have completely divorced from the things of the world. I completely left the Egypt behind me. There's no Egypt in me anymore. Because we can come out of those systems. But we still have the same nature inside of us. Why do we have to die in that nature? Why not getting the divine nature? With the nature of God. The divine love. The agape love. Should be our portion. Because the prophet said, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said nobody could see God without the agape love. That could be the aim of everybody. That's I'm aiming there. I say, God, I want to make sure that portion of the word is filled inside of me. I want to leave everything of the world. I don't want anything, no matter what the devil will try to give unto me. But I know that something more precious here. I don't want to die in this Egypt. I want to be buried there, the same place where they bury my brethren, where they bury my sister, where Paul was dying. Paul died in Christ. There was a resurrection there. All the saints of old, they died there. They knew that they're going to be a resurrection morning. And they're going to be a rapture. But it depends at your decision. God made everything available. He provided everything to the Hebrew children. That will take them out of Egypt and bring them unto the promised land. God minister all the resources they need. What they needed is just to walk and follow those resources that God has supplied unto them. And God has did the same thing in the third Exodus. God provided everything that we need. Everything that we need. He provided to us the message of the hour. And the message has everything that we need to go to the rapture. We don't need to eat from Egypt. We don't need to eat from those Methodist church. We don't need to eat from Presbyterian church. We have the fresh manna from heaven. If you come out of Egypt, how do you desire garlic of Egypt? And people come to the message and they desire things of Pentecostal church and all these things. No, this is not the daily manna. The daily manna is the message of the hour. That's where we need to suck ourselves. Where it needs to eat and to nourish our family. It has to be in the right source. Because once you're eating from Egypt and eating from heaven, it's not possible. You will be confused. You must eat at the right place. You must eat the right food. And it will make you grow spiritually. And it will bring you to the promised land. Because you can eat another source that is not the provided way of God. You will not grow spiritually. It will not grow and it will not get to the rapture. The only things that can bring you to the rapture is the message of the hour. Let's stand and have a time of sing a few songs, then we pray.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them.
Oh Lord, I'm so
glad I can say I'm one of them.
They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. In the baptized with the Holy Spirit, and powerful servants came. Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, I'm so glad one of them.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. My brother, seek this blessing that cleanse your heart from sin. That we start the joy that's willing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart to glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad today? One of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of
them. One of them. One of
them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere.
There are people almost everywhere
whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell like Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean.
It is burning now with my heart to glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Aren't you glad today? One of them.
One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them, one of them, one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it, though boast of who they feel, they have always received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. And are telling now both far and wide the world is.
Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, one of them.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. One of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Let's sing one more, then we all enter to a time of prayer.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, who full is wonderful face, and the things of the will go swinging in the light of His glory and grace. Oh soul, I weary and troubled, no light in the darkness to see. There's a light for a look at the sea, jumping, and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes on Jesus.
Look full in a wonderful face, and the things and we follow Him down.
Follow Him there.
Over us, sin no more had dominion. Who more than conquerors we are.
Turn your eyes,
turn your eyes upon. Fame of the earth will go trending day in the life of His glory and grace. His world shall
shall not fail you, he promised.
He promised.
Believe and all will be well. Then go out the world that is dying. His perfect salvation to death.
Turn your eyes.
Till your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The king of the earth will go standing there in the light of his glory and grace.
Let's all bow our heads. Let's speak to him for a few minutes.
Grandement ce moment, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, pour ta sainte présence, ô Dieu bien-aimé, dans cette place, Père, tu as honoré, ô Dieu Tout-Puissant, tes rendez-vous.
Afin que la gloire et l'honneur puissent revenir à ton Seigneur. Viens une fois de plus et baptise nous tous de ton esprit et conduis nous tous selon ta sainte parole, Père éternel, Dieu bien-aimé.
If anybody has any prayer request, before we ask Brother Vlad to come and close with a word of prayer. If the service, please can remember me in prayer. I have some contact for a new job, but I would like the Lord to open the door himself. If you could remember me in prayer, even when you leave this place, that the Lord should be on our behalf.
Heavenly Father, we are coming at the end of this service, yes, lifting our hands, because your word says that you are one who provides everything what we need, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You are one who provides our needs, not our wants, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We want to just come that your word will wash everything our wants, O Lord, that just you will stay. We are so thankful for your word.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, which just make us clear, O Lord, that you provided a way for us to escape, O Lord, corruption of this world.
Amen.
And everything what is coming just to our way, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are so thankful for everything, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Just we want to apply that message. Help us with your spirit,
Lord.
O Lord. Come
yes,
down,
Lord.
O Lord. And just, O Lord, clean everything like we sang that song, O Lord. Burn on. Burn.
Yes, Lord.
Burn all dross, everything, O Lord.
Mm.
That we will be just left with clear vision.
Yes,
that we know what to do, where to go, O Lord.
Amen.
We want to just go to you, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
Because you left us with the message,
mm.
O Lord. We are so thankful, O Lord.
Mm.
Just we are lifting our hands to you, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because you are one who can fill it up our cup, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
O Lord, we are coming with expectation
mm.
that you will do something for
yes,
us.
Lord.
We want to ask even for Brother Francois,
please,
for
Lord.
His job, O Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Saw that many times you did for our brothers, O
Amen.
Lord. That you came in unexpected way, O
yes, Lord.
Lord. You provided for our needs. O
please, Lord,
Lord, what we want to just that you will be one that you will through us feed our families.
Please, Lord.
That you will provide for our families, O Lord.
Mm.
Oh, we just want to commit these things into your hands.
Mm.
Not even for brother. For all of us, for brothers
yes,
who are expecting for job. Maybe
please,
they are
Lord.
During colleges and like that. But Lord, you lead us.
Please, Lord.
That place that we can find, that place of your provision for us, O
mm.
Lord. Oh, just we commit ourselves into your hands
mm.
because you are everything for us we need. O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Because your word says, first ye look for kingdom of God. Seek ye for kingdom
yes.
of God. O Lord, we came today just to your church, O Lord, that we want to show that we are looking, that we are seeking for kingdom of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, and you are one who will provide everything for what we need.
Mm.
O Lord, we want to just ask, forgive our sins, trespasses,
please, Lord.
Whatever, O Lord. We are just coming, O Lord, because we know that we trespass many times.
Yes.
But you provided blood of Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Lord.
We are so thankful, O Lord.
And we commit ourselves into your hands. Even when we go from this place, we just ask your mercy. Be with us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing the chorus and we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amazing grace shall always be my song. Oh, it was for grace that taught my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond
my foes and so my knees.
I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross. How marvelous the grace that could my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and so much. I shall forever